Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus this morning, grateful that you are the sovereign ruler who controls, who has made and controls everything that is seen and unseen. Father, we come before you. You are the God who reigned sovereign over everything in 2016. And Father, we come before you in praise because you rule sovereignly and also promise that you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Father, for many of us, as we look back at 2016, we can only trust by faith that you're working all things together for good, because as we look by sight, things seem to be so chaotic. And yet we know, because your word is true, that you are working all things after the counsel of your will. So we come before you in peace this morning, thankful that you have drawn us to yourself through Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look forward to 2017 together, we pray that this morning you would speak to us through your word, that you would set our eyes upon you, upon your wonder, as we begin another year. Remind us this morning as we gather to worship you that 2017 is not a celebration of our greatness, but of yours. That 2017 is a year not for our glory, but for yours. Happy New Year. My name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors of the church. And now is the time during our gathering each week where we study the Bible together, which is something we as followers of Jesus believe to be God's very word written. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and follow along with us, because I always want you to see as we gather together that what we care about most here at City Light is not me and my ideas, but God and his very word. So I always want to encourage you to follow along with us. So as you're turning to Hebrews 12, let me just give you a quick preview of where we're going, not just this morning, but in God's word over the coming months. So next Sunday, we're going to kick off a brand new series called Mercy and Justice, Gospel-Motivated Love. And we'll spend 6 weeks looking specifically at how the gospel motivates us and how the Bible commands us to love the poor and the marginalized, both among us here as a church family and then also in the wider city around us. So it'll be a somewhat short series for us, 6 weeks. And then after that series is over, we'll spend about 3 months working verse by verse through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, which I'm really excited for as well. But this morning, we're doing something a little bit different. Over the last couple weeks, I've actually been praying very specifically that God would lead us to a passage of Scripture this morning that would give us something of his vision for us as we approach 2017. And as I prayed and asked God, would you just show us something in your word that would set our eyes up where they should be for 2017, I continually came back to the passage that Crystal just read, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And the main command, the big point in Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, comes right at the end of verse 1. If you look at it with me, the main command in Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 is this: and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, everything else sort of circles around that command, but that's the main point. That's the big command. In other words, that's the big idea that the author of Hebrews wants us to get right from the beginning as we look at these three verses. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so the big idea that I want us to unpack this morning as we look forward to 2017 together is this. Run the race of faith with endurance in 2017. So what I believe God has for us this morning from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Run the race of faith with endurance in 2017. Now, before we unpack how in the world we run the race of faith with endurance in 2017, I want to just say a quick word about what in the world this race is. What's he talking about when he says, run the race, run with endurance the race that is set before us? See, to understand what the race is, you have to first understand really what the letter to the Hebrews is all about. The letter to the Hebrews, which is, I think, one of the most incredible books in the whole Bible, is actually one very long sermon. And like all good sermons, Hebrews, as one long one, has one main point. And the main point of the sermon that is the letter to the Hebrews is this. Jesus is greater than anything you could put your faith in. So hold fast to your faith in him. That's Hebrews. Jesus is greater than anything you could put your faith in, so hold fast to your faith in him. You see, the original recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were Jews who had converted to faith in Christ. But post-conversion, they're experiencing quite a bit of suffering and trials. And so they're tempted to let go of their faith in Jesus and go back to Judaism because it means for them perhaps a life of less suffering. And so throughout Hebrews, you'll see things like Jesus is greater than, and insert something from the Old Covenant, Jesus is greater than any priest you could ever have. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than angels. So don't let go of your faith in Jesus, even if it means massive suffering for you. Even if in this life it just doesn't seem to go well. You see, the race, simply, is the Christian life. That's the race being talked about here. It's not the sort of specific, intricate callings that each of us have, like, okay, you run the race of being an accountant and I run the race of being a pastor. No, it's the race that all of us are called to, the race of faith in and faithfulness to Jesus. That's the race. The way we talk about it around here at City Light is the Christian life is about being a disciple of Jesus, someone who follows him in every aspect of life with nothing left out. The Christian life is a constant response to the grace of God. God in his grace is adopting a people to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And in response to that, we are always growing in worship, community, and mission. Love for God, love for one another, and love for our neighbors. That's what the race is. It's the general Christian life. So with that said, what's the big idea here? The big idea is we look to 2017 through the lens of Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, is don't coast in the race of faith in Jesus this year. Don't coast. Don't walk. Don't sprint and then give up. Instead, run the race of faith with endurance in 2017. Give all of yourself to the race of faith. Don't give up. Don't let up. Don't slow down. Don't coast. Press in and follow Jesus with all of everything that you have. Run the race of faith with endurance in 2017. That's the big idea from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Now, of course, the question is, how in the world do we do that? And Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 provides us with three answers to the question of how do we run the race with endurance in 2017. Here are the three answers. First, run with witnesses. Secondly, run with freedom. And then third, run with eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's take them one by one. First, how do we run the race of faith with endurance in 2017? We have to first run with witnesses. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And then it concludes, let us run with endurance. See, a cloud is a great host of people. Now, who are these people? They're witnesses. See, the people being referred to, and he says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's actually talking about, the author is referring to all the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that comes right before this one. It's sort of a hall of fame of faith, an example chapter of all these people who have run the race of faith with endurance. And so the author is saying, look, if you want to run the race of faith with endurance in 2017, you're going to need to be motivated by all the people who have run before you, who are examples of people who haven't wasted their lives but have hung on to their faith in Jesus no matter what the obstacles. Let me just read you a little sampling from Hebrews 11, the witnesses that surround us and motivate us as we run with endurance. I'll begin in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Most of us are like, yes, that's what I want. That hall of fame of faith. I want to see people rise from the dead. I want to put foreign armies to flight. That sounds incredible. Here's some of the other stuff that these hall of fame of faith folks experience. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. So it's like, no, I'd like to be in the first half of the Hall of Fame of Faith, but notice, God is sovereign over the end. God is sovereign over the outcome. They remained faithful. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What the author is saying is, if you and I are going to run the race of faith with endurance in 2017, we need to be motivated by all the people both around us and who have gone before us, who have not wasted their lives, who have not given up on their faith in Jesus just when it got hard or costly, but kept their eyes fixed upon him and ran with endurance. We need this cloud of witnesses. Now, to be clear, the author is not saying, oh, all these people are in heaven, like looking down and watching us. No, it's about us watching their example, not them watching us. And I love how this works. Like, for me personally, one of my heroes of the faith is a man named Jonathan Edwards. He was born in 1703, lived a very short life, only about 55 years. He's probably the greatest American theologian that ever lived. And I discovered Jonathan Edwards when I was in college, when I was a student at Penn State. And the thing that Edwards wrote that actually has had the most impact on me were the score of resolutions that he sought to live his life by. And I think the reason they impacted me so much is that Edwards wrote them in his late teens and early 20s, around the same time or the same age that I was when I first read them. And let me just read you two that still motivate me to run the race with endurance. Resolution number 4 is my favorite one. Resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. I love that. He's saying, I don't want to do a thing. I don't want to move an inch except with the ultimate goal and motivation to display the wonder, goodness, and majesty of God. That's how I want to live. I don't want to waste my life. I want to live to the glory of God with every moment in the mundane and in the spectacular. When I'm changing my son's diaper and when I'm up here preaching, I want to live to the glory of God. And then resolution 17 had a huge impact on me and still does. Resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had when I come to die. Man, that's what I want. I want to live in such a way that when I'm on my deathbed, I go, it wasn't perfect, but I allowed my life to be wrung out for the glory of God and the good of the people around me. That's what I want. Edwards motivates me to run the race with endurance. And that's the first step, the first way that we can run the race of faith with endurance in 2017 is we need the motivation that comes from the cloud of witnesses around us. So let me give you just a few suggestions for how you can be motivated by the cloud of witnesses around you and who have gone before you, who have not wasted their life, but have run with endurance the race of faith. Here's the first great way to surround yourself with the cloud of witnesses. Complete a Bible reading plan in 2017. Complete a Bible reading plan. If you don't have a Bible, just take the one that's under your chair home with you. Download the YouVersion, the Bible app. That'll give you plans galore that you can follow to read the Bible throughout 2017. Now, let me be clear. The hero of every page of the Bible is Jesus. Okay, he is the one that every other character points to. He's the type and anti-type. But throughout the Bible, we learn that different people and characters and different folks who have walked with the Lord and who have not walked with the Lord are actually placed in the Bible as examples for us, negative and positive. And so as you're reading the Bible, you're surrounding yourself with the cloud of witnesses that have gone before you. So I'd encourage you, read the Bible in 2017. I know usually in 2017, I get several of you who, you know, shoot me emails like, what are the best like theology books or Christian living books or this sort of thing that I can read this year? I mean, master this book first. Take this Christian living. I'm putting my hands on my Bible if you can't see. By the way, no progress on the stage thing. Okay, but this is a Bible up here. I don't need you looking at me. Just look at the Bible. That's what we're here for anyway. My wife's in the kids' room, so she can't hear me saying this stuff. Okay, because she's campaigning for the stage. Okay, but take the Bible home. Master this book before you concern yourself with too many others. Secondly, second great way to surround yourself with the cloud of witnesses is just learn a little bit about church history in 2017. Now, some of you are like, how would I even do that? I knew it. It's like, it's the first day of the year. You're already heaping stuff on me that I'm supposed to do. Here's just one really simple thing you can do. A man named Stephen Nichols has a podcast called the 5 Minutes in Church History Podcast. Okay, the 5 Minutes in Church History Podcast. You can, 5 minutes, I mean, you can find this. You can do this while you're making breakfast, while you're shaving, something like that. And you can just get different snapshots of beautiful eras in church history and people that have gone before us have walked in faith. And then a final idea for how you can live with the cloud of witnesses motivating you to run with endurance is to embrace the cloud of witnesses that's here at City Light around you. You know, I said that in Hebrews, the main point is Jesus is greater than anything, so hold fast to your faith in him. And one of the primary ways Hebrews continually encourages us to hold on to our faith is by getting together with one another and encouraging one another in the faith. Hebrews chapter 3 says this, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to a fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Who's your cloud of witnesses? Who have you got around you that can exhort and encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus in 2017? I'd encourage you, if you're not yet a part of a city group, 2017 is a great time to jump in. Just check off on your Connect card. I want to get more information about a city group. Maybe you're in a city group. Great time to start a discipleship group with someone of the same gender or two where you can go deeply into the Bible together. Give it time. Work at it. Get to know people. Get a cloud of witnesses around you that can help you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you're trying to run this race alone, you're not running biblically. The race of faith that we endure in is a race that we run together. Run with witnesses. Secondly, run with freedom. If you want to run the race of faith with endurance in 2017, run with witnesses and run with freedom. Hebrews 12, we'll read all of verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In order to run the race of faith with endurance, we have to get rid of the things that weigh down our love for Jesus and our love for people. See, that's what running with freedom is. It's casting off both weights and sins, anything that would put a drag upon your running with endurance. You got to get rid of it. You see, the picture here in Hebrews 12:1 is one of an athletic competition. You see, this is amazing. In the first century AD, running races were done in big coliseums. But you may not know this, these races were run naked. So runners would come into a huge stadium clothed in these champions. You know, they'd come in clothed with all these elaborate robes and this sort of thing. But just before the race would start, they would strip the robes off completely so as to run with the least amount of drag possible. And that's the picture that the author is trying to give us. He's saying, shed anything, shed everything that might put a drag upon you running the race of loving Jesus and loving people in 2017. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to shed it so that you can run. This is the only appropriate way to run naked, is you've got to get rid of the weights and the sins that hamper you in your endurance run of loving Jesus and loving people. We have to run with freedom. We have to run with freedom. So how do you do that? A couple of quick suggestions. One thing I'd encourage you, I know it's January 1st and most of you are like trying to make resolutions and set out some goals and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and, you know, the gym will be empty in a couple weeks, folks. Just don't worry if you're feeling crowded out right now. I don't know. I don't go to the gym. I'm just assuming it's like that. I'm just one of those people. I just figure if I never stop, I'm not a quitter, or if I never start, I'm not a quitter. Here's what I want to suggest to you though. Make a to-don't list for 2017. Make a to-don't list. You see, there are various things that are not sinful in your life and mine that are probably putting an unnecessary drag or distraction on us running the race of faith with endurance. I'll give you an example from my own life. I'm committing in 2017, I'm resolving to avoid social media as a time filler in 2017. Okay, that doesn't mean I'm quitting Instagram, so fear not for the two of you that follow me. it doesn't mean, at Pastor Matt G, it doesn't mean I'm quitting Instagram. It certainly means I'm not starting anything new. But it doesn't mean I'm quitting Instagram or something like that. Well, what I mean is I am done in 2017 putting social media into filler time. You know, it's like you're waiting for the bus, or you're waiting for the microwave, or you're waiting for anything. You have like a spare second of brain space, and no matter who's around you, just boop, pop it open, look at everybody else's glorious life, get slightly discontent, you know, and then sort of move on. And I've noticed, I've tried this over the course of a week, I am not kidding you, I have read more in the last week than is normal for me, and I've also been way more present with the people around me, just because I'm not filling the time. It doesn't mean I'm never gonna look at it, it just means I'm gonna do it deliberately when I want to do it, and then I'm gonna be done with it, and it's not gonna be the filler thing. Now, that's just one example. But what are you finding in your life? I know some of you are like, God bless you, you're like, Instagram, could you translate that into English? Don't worry about it, okay? If you're not on it, you'll be fine. But for you, like, what are the things, they're not sinful, they're just distractions. They're weights that you really don't need to be carrying. Like some of you, I'll be honest, you have made fitness and like physical health goals for 2017 that are probably gonna distract you from actually running the race with endurance. You're just gonna have to obsess over it, the goals that you've set. Because your motivation isn't I wanna glorify God with my body, it's I want to live up to this standard of beauty, which is totally unrealistic because someone who is actually paid to look like that is your standard of beauty. You know, some of you, you have made goals for your career this year that will require you to probably not spend any time alone with Jesus. Please, excel in your career. Give yourself, run with endurance in your career in 2017. I mean, the primary way most of us love our neighbor is by doing our job well. Please do that. But please don't seek your own glory through your career in such a way that's going to require you to set aside running the race of faith with endurance. So if we're going to run with endurance, we have to set aside weights, make a to-don't list for 2017. It's like, if you're going to add something, subtract something too. But also, and more importantly, we have to lay aside the pet sins, the things that constantly tempt us and trip us up in 2017. So I want to encourage you, as you're laying aside weights, lay aside sin. Make war on the sin that tempts you to jog, to coast, to walk, to give up. Make war on it. Put to death the deeds of the body so that you can live in 2017. Each of us have those things. And one of the best ways that we can put those to death is by first confessing them to God. Confession, by the way, is just saying the same thing about your sin that God does. Just say the same thing to God about your sin that he does. And then confess it to one another. You know, in 2017, if you want to enjoy deep fellowship with other people, I'd encourage you the path to that, one of the fastest paths to that is actually to confess your sin to one another. See, we often think, as soon as I establish a really deep relationship with this person and we have really deep fellowship, then I will walk in the light with them and share my sins with them and that sort of thing. It's exactly backward from what the Bible teaches. In 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." If you want deep fellowship, you have to expose yourself first. Because that's where deep fellowship comes from. And it's a beautiful way to put your sin to death. But I want to encourage you. Most of us do not put our sins to death through one-time grandiose commitments. Like, I'm just done with X, line in the sand, never gonna happen again. For most of us, growth in godliness is just slow, steady, putting off sin, putting on holiness one step at a time, never giving up, running with endurance. So yes, run with witnesses, run with freedom. Remember, this is the only appropriate way to run in the nude. And then finally, run with eyes fixed on Jesus. Most importantly, if you want to run the race of faith with endurance in 2017, run with eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When it says that Jesus is the founder of our faith, what it means is he is the true Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, begotten but not made, who took on flesh, lived the holy life we should have lived as God's Son, died the death we deserve to die, a sinner's death, and rose from the grave, so that anyone who puts their faith in him is adopted as God's son or daughter. See, he's the founder of our faith because he's the true son who opens the door of sonship to all of us by grace through faith. He's the founder of our faith. And he's the perfecter of our faith because Jesus, through his blood, makes us perfect, holy before God. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith because now in him we are called saints. Incredible. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. See, Jesus is the greatest example of endurance you could ever have because he didn't just endure in life, he endured through death the wrath of God for us. See, when you and I, as followers of Jesus, endure hardship, all we're enduring is discipline. All of God's wrath has been removed. We're only enduring the discipline that sons and daughters receive because the true son has taken God's wrath upon himself on the cross. The holy creator God has poured his wrath out upon Jesus, and he endured it for us so that we could be set free. And now our trials are merely the discipline of sonship. He is the ultimate example of endurance, but he's more than an example. See what else the verse says. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You notice he's more than an example of endurance. As David Allen, I think, beautifully says, unlike the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, Jesus is able to strengthen his followers to endure because he is the one who sits at the right hand of the throne of God and awaits their cry for help. I love that. Our hope for enduring in the race of faith is fixing our eyes on Jesus, because he is more beautiful than anything you could ever turn to. He's more faithful than anything you could ever trust in. He is more powerful than anything you could ever hope in. And so I want to encourage you in 2017 to place in your life habits that help you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. If you're going to run the race of endurance that is set before you by fixing your eyes on Jesus, then you need to plan to fix your eyes on Jesus. I mean, if one of you said, I'm going to run a marathon in 2017, you would make plans for that. I hope you would make plans. As someone who has run one, let me encourage you, make plans. Don't just show up. Okay, make plans, you know, write out a training plan, download one from the internet. Okay, what am I going to eat? What am I going to train? These sorts of things. You've got to think ahead so you don't hurt yourself. If we are going to run the race of faith with endurance, and the secret to running with endurance is fixing our eyes on Jesus, then we've got to plan to fill 2017 with things that help us fix our eyes on him. I'd say the most important things you could fit into your life, place in your life to fix your eyes on him, is listening to him and speaking to him. We listen to Jesus by reading the Bible It's God's very word written to us. He speaks to us through the Bible, and we speak back to him through prayer, turning what he's said in these pages back around into praise and confession of sin and thanksgiving and supplication, asking for things. In 2017, make that to-don't list so that you can place upon the to-do fixing your eyes on Jesus in any and every circumstance. See, don't let Jesus be just another resolution. He's the Lord who reigns over everything in your life. Fix your eyes on him. I'll tell you, for me personally, what this means is in 2017, one day a month, I'm going to take a half day and spend it alone with Jesus. That's a commitment I'm going to try and do. I'm going to give up a lot of other things in order to do it. Like, this is not going to be simple for me. I'm about to have another kid in 4 weeks. Not like my life is about to become simpler. But I know if I'm going to run the race with endurance, I need to spend time with him. And I can find 4 hours once a month. I know I can, and he's worth it. Maybe for you, it just means this year, I'm going to carve out 15 minutes before I go to work each day. I'm going to read the Bible for 5 minutes, and I'm going to talk to him about it for 10. We have the freedom as followers of Jesus to figure out for us, for ourselves, how to best fix our eyes on him. You've got freedom in that. Use your freedom to fix your eyes upon the author and perfecter of your faith in 2017. So what do I believe that God has for us as we close in 2017? City Light, let's be a people that run the race of faith with endurance in 2017. Let's be a people who respond to all of God's grace in the gospel by running with endurance the race of loving God and loving people. And let's never give up, no matter what comes our way. Let's run with witnesses and freedom so that our eyes can be fixed on Jesus. Now, as we respond, one of the best ways, the timeless way, that Jesus has given us to fix our eyes upon him regularly is the Lord's Supper, is communion. See, the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he broke it, and he said, "This bread is a symbol of my body, which will be broken for you." He poured out a cup of wine, saying, "This wine is a symbol of the new covenant, the new relationship between God and humanity purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross." As often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are remembering the Lord Jesus, life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. So as we respond in three songs of worship, I want to invite you, if you're a follower of Jesus, anytime during these songs, to come to the tables in front or in back. Tear off a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, eat it, and remember, fix your eyes upon Jesus, lived, died, and resurrected for you. If at any time during the next three songs you also feel like you need to just sit and, you know, make plans a little bit for 2017 in light of what you heard, please feel the freedom to do that. And we will together kick off 2017 in the best way possible, singing the praises of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So I'll pray, and then will you stand and worship him with us?